All right. So I want to let you know that we're going to take a little bit of a break from going through our study in the Gospel of Mark. There's been something that's been on my heart for us as a church to go through and to talk about. And I just wanted to take the first year to kind of pray and say, God, I don't want to go through this until it's time. And since the Lord this week said now's the time for us to spend some time going through this. So we're gonna take the next 2 months to talk about what is the mission of the church and why are we here? And what are the things that God has really laid on the hearts of leadership here at Park Forest for us as a church that we want to share with you? And so that God will take that, Lord willing, and unite our hearts together about, say, this is why God has us here, and this is what God wants us to be doing. And so we're going to spend some time over the next couple of months doing that, and then we'll get back into Mark. But so I want to start this morning by asking a question. I want you to think real hard, okay? For some of you, this question is not going to apply, depending on how old you are. But I want you to think about, what were you doing back in October of 1986? Think back. Put your hand up if you weren't even on planet Earth in 1986. All right, look around the room. Okay. 1986, what were you doing in October of 1986? I was in fifth grade. I was 10 years old, 1986. But I'll tell you what, if you were standing where you are seated today, back in 1986, you would have been standing in the middle of a forest, because this building was not here yet. It was an undeveloped plot of land that in Center County that God wanted to build a church on. And so a little bit of history about our church. If you're not familiar, many of you are, this will be just a refresher. But in 1982, God raised up a faithful man of God, Jim Knowlton, our church's first and only prior pastor. And he put it in his heart to travel from Phillipsburg to come to Center County to bring the hope of the gospel here to State College and to be a part of what God was doing. And on September 12th, in 1982, was their launch service. That's why we have our church festival every September, in the beginning of September, because the church launch service was on September 12th, 1982, at the Big Wrangler Steakhouse with 19 people. Isn't that exciting? I'm just curious, was there anybody here that was a part of that service? But that's part of our history. And then 6 months later, they moved into the Village Inn Pizza Parlor. And then on their one-year anniversary, they moved into the Holiday Inn and stayed there for 4 years. And then by October of 1987, the trees from this property had been removed and the building was erected, and the visible presence of Park Forest Baptist Church was established. And 30 years later, here you are today as a part of this church. Isn't that exciting? It's exciting. And so I want us to revisit a question that's important for every church. It's important for us when we look at the scriptures, but also especially, I think, as we enter into a new season for us as a church and a church family. And that question is simply this: why are we here? Why are we here? In essence, what is the mission of the church? Why did God plant and establish a church here on this property, give us 24 acres of land in this building? Why are we here? And this is an important question, because if we can't clearly define why we're here, then we won't be able to fulfill the mission that God has for us. You know, we could make our church about a lot of things, about a lot of really good things, and we might accomplish a lot of our own purposes, but we may not fulfill the purposes that God has for his church. And that's important. And so I want you to be thinking about this question this morning. Why are we here? Why are you here? Because the church is here for a mission. The church is here for a mission. The scriptures speak about that. And so now a question that comes up is, we might ask and say, well, has the mission changed? Because we have a new pastor. So maybe because we have a new pastor, maybe the mission has changed. And the answer to that question is no. The mission has not changed. The mission is always the same, because it comes from the commands of God in the scripture. We want to talk about that today. And I want to suggest to you, and I want to say, that those commands that God has given to us, they need to be near and dear to your heart. They need to plant into your heart and stay there and grow deep roots, because if we don't, we will lose sight of what God says he wants to do through the church. And if, you know, if a church loses sight of its mission, if I can kindly say it, it pretty much ought to just close up the doors and go home. If a church loses sight of what God has called it to do, you could just close up. There's no sense in opening up the doors. You know, we could You could go ahead and you could join the efforts of the good organizations, the YMCA. You could join the efforts of the Kiwanis Club. You could pick all different kinds of things. But God has given a specific mission to the church, and he's called each one of us, each one of you, to have a specific role in fulfilling that mission. So what is our mission? Well, there's a lot of different ways that you can express it. You can summarize it from Scripture. But for us here at Park Forest, this is how we've chosen to express it. And it's on your bulletin. It's in your bulletin insert. You probably see it every week. I'm not sure if you've noticed it or not. But simply this: helping people find and follow Jesus Christ. That's our mission. Now, over the next couple of weeks, I just want to say as a caveat, we're going to round that out. We're going to flesh that out, and we're going to explain that in more detail. But we've summarized it this way because it's easy to remember, and my prayer is that as a church, we will own this in our hearts, that we will think about what Jesus has said to us, and that whenever we think about, when I walk through the doors of Park Forest Church, or when I'm out there living my life in the world as a Christian, that this is my purpose, this is the mission of our church, is to help people find and to help people follow Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. And so when you think about ministries in the church, for example, everything that we do, every ministry, every stream of ministry that we do needs to flow back to the source of helping people find and follow Jesus. And so, like I said, we're going to take the next couple of months to flesh that out and also talk about what are the values that we believe that God has said to us right now in this new season as we move forward as a church, that God says we want us to rally around these things to best help us fulfill this mission. And again, I ask the question, why is this important? Because the truth is, not just our church, but any church will either thrive or die based on whether or not it's fulfilling God's mission for a church. Not our own mission, but God's mission. A couple of weeks ago, I had the opportunity to go to the Willow Creek Leadership Summit. They host them all over in the United States. There's about 450 locations. And Calvary was hosting, and so I got an invitation to go, so I gladly was able to accept, and went down. And so one of the stories that I heard there was really interesting, and it's along these lines I want to share with you. Think about this. Some of you may know, if you follow the world of technology and tech, back in 2011, Facebook, out in California, they moved into some new offices in Menlo Park, California. And they were expanding, and their staff was expanding, so they moved into the old Sun Microsystems building. And so one day, there was a high-level employee from Google who was there and was taking a tour. They were giving a tour of the building. And so a Facebook employee was walking around this Google employee. And so the Google employee says to the guy, he says, "Hey, walking around, it's a beautiful building with all these glass doors and so forth." And he says, "You guys have been here for a while now, but I'm walking around, and how comes every door still has Sun Microsystems on it?" And he's thinking to himself, "This is really weird. Like, you guys are Facebook. Like, you guys have enough money to, you know, get new doors or, you know, scratch that off the glass and put the Facebook logo on your doors. Like, why are you doing this?" And so he asked the guy, and the answer comes back. He says, "We leave the logos on these doors because every time that our employees come into this building, we want them to remember what happens if we fail to continue to move fast and innovate. And if we do, we will end up like Sun Microsystems." You see, they understood it's all about mission. They got it. And I want to say to us, we need to never forget the mission that God has given to us as a church and why we are here. So why are we here? Why are you here this morning? What is the mission as a church that God has given to us? If you would, please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. This is not a new passage. It's very familiar to us. But we want to talk about it this morning in light of this subject, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. I'll read it for you. "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" Excuse me. First thing we want to talk about this morning is helping people find Jesus Christ. Helping people find Jesus Christ. And that's what this passage is about. This is what Jesus is saying to his disciples. This is after his resurrection. And Jesus is on a mountain, and he's with his disciples, and this is what he says to them. He He's in his glorified state, and he says, all authority, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me, Jesus said. And so I want to ask you the question, just think for a second. It's real simple. It's not a brain stumper by any means, but who is Jesus? I mean, really, right? Who is he? Well, he is, the Bible says, he is the one whom all authority in all power, all authority or all power has been given to. Now, it's interesting. The word that's used here in the original language in the Greek is the Greek word exousia. And this is what this word means in Scripture. Let me share it with you when it's used. It means that someone has, depending on where it's found in Scripture, it means that someone has the power of choice. They have the liberty to do as they please. Sometimes it means mental or physical power. Other times it's used to describe the ability or strength with which one is endued. Other times it speaks of the power of privilege, or it speaks to the power of rule of government, meaning that the power of him whose will and commands must be submitted to by others and obeyed. That's what that word means, depending on where you find it in Scripture. Now, Jesus, doesn't he possess all of those? Right, church? I mean, he possesses all of that. He is the eternal, co-equal with God the Father in the divine nature. He is God who has risen victorious over the grave and over the resurrection. And so what else does the Bible say about, we think about this, Jesus' authority? Well, he is the one, who have a slide for this, he is the one who all things have been delivered to me by the Father. That's what Jesus said. All things have been delivered to me by the Father in Luke chapter 10. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Jesus said, you call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for I am so. John 17, verse 2 says, as you have given him authority over all the flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. 1 Corinthians 15, for he has put all things under his feet. Sometimes we just need to, I think, just sit back and remember, like, Jesus has all authority. He is Lord. He is God. He has all authority in heaven and earth. He has real, he has ultimate, he has supreme authority, not only in heaven, but also on earth. So whatever his will is in heaven, he can do it. Whatever his will is on earth, he can do it. And on the basis of that authority, he gives us a mission because he has the authority. He has given you and I, he has given us a mission as Christians that is backed by his authority. And that mission is therefore, in the scriptures, in this text, it says, therefore, go. Therefore, go. And I just want to highlight real quick, in case I forget to come back to it, in verse 20, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Okay? Jesus says, therefore, go. Now, what does this word mean here? Well, this word in the original language is actually a participle, and so here's the idea behind it. It's not so much that Jesus is saying, you're not going, so go. He's saying, because you are already going, as you go, here's what I want you to do, because you are already going. He's saying, you have a purpose to your Christian life. I've saved you, I've called you to myself, you've committed your life to following me, and so now as you live out your Christian life, here is the purpose, here's the mission of your life. Make disciples. Make disciples. Jesus, with all the authority that has been given to him, has commissioned us, now that we know him as Lord and Savior, that we are to go and to take the hope of the gospel and to tell people that there is hope, that there is forgiveness, that there is peace. Doesn't our world need peace right now? Jesus is the Prince of Peace. There is new life available in Christ to all who will believe in him. This is the mission of God's people. This is our mission. We are commissioned by our Savior to help people find Jesus. So I was thinking about this week as I was pondering in my office and praying, and it's kind of a silly analogy, but if you'll just work with me on this. So sometimes I think life is a lot like walking around through Home Depot. I don't know about you, but usually when I walk into Home Depot, I have no idea where to find what I need. You know that feeling? I'm more familiar with Lowe's. I tend to go there more often. But when I go to Home Depot, I don't know. Like, I walk around, and I'm walking around like this, looking at the signs, and I'm up and down the aisles. And, you know, I get frustrated, and if you have that feeling, you're thinking, if I could just find this one thing, I could get out of here. And So I get that feeling of being frustrated, and I can't find what I'm searching for, until finally someone with that orange apron comes up to me and says, "Can I help you find what you're looking for?" And I say, "Yes, this is what I need. Can you please tell me where to find this? This is my problem. I think this is how I need to fix it. Can you help me?" And usually that person shows me where to go to fix my problem. Now, you know, in a lot of ways, you and I are like, we're like that employee at Home Depot. You know, we know the way, we know what's needed to fix what's broken in people's lives. We can lead people into a personal relationship with their Creator. We can help be a part of the process of bringing the love of God into people's lives, His forgiveness, the new life that He offers. We can help people who are loaded down with the bad decisions and the guilt and the sin and the shame or whatever it is that they've been feeling in life, all of that, that Christ can take that on and can make them new. Christ takes, the Bible tells us, He takes our spiritually dead hearts and He makes them alive in Christ. And we're able to help people to say, you know, you can have a relationship with the God who created you. You can have a personal relationship with the God who created you because of what Christ has done. And then, you know, God comes into our lives just like He's come into your life and He's changed you and you have a relationship with Him. And you start to understand how to have a walk with God. And then God starts to repair broken relationships and we figure out how to love each other and we don't know how to love each other and all these things. Our mission given to us by Jesus is for each person here that makes up Park Forest Baptist Church is to help people find Jesus. So I just want to ask you this morning, ask yourself, am I fulfilling the mission that God has given to me? So I ask myself that question. We need to ask ourselves that question. Am I fulfilling the mission that God has given to me? Because our mission as a church is only fulfilled, our mission as a church is only fulfilled if the mission is being fulfilled by its members. It's only fulfilled if it's being fulfilled by its members. The walls of this church are not going to fulfill our mission. The chairs in this room are not going to fulfill our mission. This stage and these awesome instruments around us, they're not going to fulfill our mission. We are the only ones that can fulfill our mission that God has given to the church. And we need to ask ourselves, do I care about the mission? Do I care about the mission? Is the mission driving what we do? Am I stepping up to be a part of the mission? Jesus said in this passage, He said that we're to make disciples of who? He said all nations. All nations. Nobody is excluded. He was trying to make the point to His audience. He said, it doesn't matter whether you're Jew or you're Gentile. He wanted to be clear that every person from every nation, everybody matters to God. Amen? Amen? Everybody matters to God. Every person is created in the image of God and their life has intrinsic value. They are to be loved and we are to seek to bring them into the hope of God into their life. Everyone. And Jesus said that as people commit their lives to Him in this passage, He said that they are to be baptized. They are to be baptized. Christ desires that His people, that we would not be ashamed of Him. And in baptism is a way for us to stand up and publicly identify before the world, say, I'm committed to Christ. Christ is my Savior, and I'm not ashamed. And so I'm giving my life to Him, and I stand before Him. And I'm not ashamed to proclaim that He was the one that died to save me from my sins, and He rose again. Even if that message is unpopular in our world today, Jesus says we need to identify ourselves with Him in baptism. And so I ask you this morning, with a humble heart, have you been baptized? Do you know somebody who maybe hasn't been baptized that you could encourage, say, hey, you've been walking with Christ for a while, you need to be baptized. God wants you to be baptized. Well, not only is our mission to help people find Jesus from the Scriptures, but our mission is also to help people to follow Him. And I want to talk about that a little bit this morning, help people to follow Him. This is our second point, helping people follow Jesus. I apologize, we had a slide there in the middle, number one, that said helping people find Jesus, but it didn't translate from PowerPoint into our thing back there this morning, so if you were looking, it might have seemed disconnected, but I wanted to explain that. But here's the second point, is that God has called us to help people find Jesus. You know, I was thinking about this, it wouldn't do me any good, going back to my analogy, if I'm walking around Home Depot, and the employee, he says to me, sir, if you follow me, I can show you the way to go. But then if I still just kind of did my own thing, and if I didn't follow him. And in the same way, we need to learn to follow Jesus. You and I do. And we need to teach others why doing the same is so important. Think with me for a second. When we were children, when you were a child, you needed to be taught some things, didn't you? I know I did. I did. Let me share a story with you. I remember when I was 2 years old, I was just this little guy, and I'm hiding behind a chair in our living room, and my mother is trying to get me to come out from behind the chair because she wants to put my socks on my feet. And so I'm not coming out, and I'm playing these games with her, and she apparently tells me to stay there because she's going to go up and get my shoes. So she goes up and gets my shoes. Well, for me, as a rambunctious, devious little child, I found this as an opportunity to go out into the kitchen and to take a step stool and to push it up to the stove and to climb up on top of the stove and play with all of the really cool knobs that make all the pretty little red lights come on. And you know, isn't it nice the guys who make the stoves, they put those perfect round seats there for you to sit on? That's so nice of them. And so I thought, well, I'll sit down. And so here I am. Well, it wasn't before long that my cloth diaper had caught on fire. And my mother came back downstairs to see her 2-year-old son sitting on the stovetop with his diaper burning in flames. How about that for a mischievous little child? She picks me up, she throws me in the sink, extinguishes the flames, and literally saves my butt. I didn't know anything about life. I needed someone to teach me. And our mission, given to us by our Savior, is to teach people how to follow Him. Verse 20 says, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. This is not a bad thing. This is a good thing. Because we just don't know. We just don't know. So the question is, are we going to take that mission on? To say, show people and teach them why God's ways for life are to be followed and why they're good and why they're to be obeyed. Because let's be honest, God wrote the book on life. He's the playwright to the play. He's the creator and we're the creation. Obeying Him and obeying him is how we follow Him. And not only that, but obeying Him, the Bible says, is also how we show Him that we love Him. You remember that? It's how we show God that we love Him. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 23, He said, if anyone loves Me, he will obey My teaching. So I ask you this morning, and I'm putting a mirror in front of my face as well, do you love Jesus this morning? Do you love Him? Because the other key passage of the Bible where Jesus defines the mission for the church in this way is in Matthew chapter 22. If you would turn over there with me real quick, just go back a couple pages in your Bible. Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. Matthew writes, telling about Jesus and the story of His life. He says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, so the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested Him with this question, teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love, love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. Have you thought about this? That you're not going to want to follow Jesus unless you really love Him? You ever think about that? You know, and it's interesting that I spent more time this week. You know, I came to this passage, and I'm like, all right, God, I've been to this passage many times, so show me some deeper meaning, some deeper hidden meaning in this text if I've missed it over the years. And I went back, and I'm studying, and you know what I found? The whole point of what Jesus is saying here is really just as simple as it looks. What Jesus says with the greatest commandment in the law is just simply to love God with your complete being. Just love Him with the totality of your entire being, of who you are. Just love Him. And if we love God with all of our heart, with our soul and our mind, and we do that, we will also love our neighbors. We will also love our neighbors as ourselves. And then everything else that the Bible talks about, all that will fall into place, because if we're doing that, those two things, we'll be doing everything else. I know you know this. But church, if we are given a mission by our Savior to help others, and we are, to help others follow him and love him, then we need to love him too, don't we? We do. We need to love him. Which begs the question, what does love for Jesus look like? This is just mine. This is not scripture. This is just stuff that came to my heart. You might have your own things this, you know, you think about, but this is some questions that I came up with. Do I have a heart that wants to please God in all that I say, in all that I do, in all that I think? Does that well up within me? Do I have a hunger to want to know him more? Do I get hungry for reading the Word of God? What about, am I embracing things in my life that I know God doesn't want me to be a part of, things that might be sinful, but I really don't seem to have an issue with it? Or do I love God, and do I want to keep my heart pure and away from those things so that I can really have fellowship and communion with God? Do I know God more personally today? Is my relationship with Jesus, is it deeper? Do I know him more personally today than I did this time last year? Am I seeing the fruit of, you know, my relationship with God taking off and continuing to grow, and I just love him? And am I willing to surrender and sacrifice my desires when God wants me to, so that his desires can be accomplished in my life or through me? And simply just, do I love him? Is my relationship with God a thread that fills every part of my day? So I began this morning by saying, you know, it was 35 years ago that God planted Park Forest Baptist Church. Amen. The question we always have to keep in front of us is this, is that as a church, are we going to be on fire for fulfilling the mission that God has given to us? Are we going to be on fire for fulfilling the mission that God is giving to us? Will you commit in your heart today that the answer to that question is a resounding yes? Churches that don't die out. It's just a sad truth. But churches that lose sight of seeing lives transformed by the gospel eventually close their doors. But churches that are deeply committed to Jesus' mission for the church, God will use them in their communities and by extension around the world. And I want to ask you to commit with me this morning that we will be a church that gives every last ounce of energy to helping people find and follow Jesus. So I just want to give you three practical ways to apply this morning. This is our vision, part of our vision of how we do this. We feel like God wants us to focus on this in a new season of our church ministry for Jesus Christ. And it's our vision. It's a simple plan to help us all stay focused. Real simply, grow deep, serve with, and go out. Grow deep, serve with, and go out. So I just want to ask you, are you growing deep in your walk with God? That ought to be something that we want. So man, I want to know my Savior. And so different ways to do that, you know, personally in your own walk with God, spending time with him in the Word and prayer. You know, also things like getting involved in a small group ministry, having a way to do life together and just to wrestle with the scriptures and wrestle with the things of the Bible and allow God to use other people in your life to grow you and to challenge you. And that's one of the reasons why as a church family we're putting an emphasis on small group ministry coming into the fall. Our desire as church leadership is to see everybody involved in some type of small group community, one way or the other, because we know it's good for us. We know it's good for us. And it's one of the ways that God uses us to grow us spiritually. And so we had, Nate came up last week and talked about his small group that they're kicking off, and next week you're going to hear from other small group leaders in our church, and we're praying that God will raise up other small group leaders in our church, because growing in community is important, growing deep. Secondly, serving with. And in the context of the church, right, we are the church. And so I just want to ask you, are you serving somewhere? Are you serving somewhere within the ministries of the church? If the church is God's vehicle to take the gospel to the world, and he's given us spiritual gifts and he wants us to use them, right? Where are we serving? Where are we serving? There's a lot of places to serve Christ in our church. You know, youth ministry, I'm going to forget some, but youth ministry, club, date night, which is coming back, men's ministry, women's ministry, teaching, hospitality, prayer ministry, ushering, first impressions. You can go, you can log on to My Park Forest through our website, and you can check. We've listed within the Our Church group, which almost all of you are in. You can check and see these are the ministry positions that we're saying. It's on our hearts as leadership to say, God, would you raise up people? Would you bring the people so that we can continue to be effective for the kingdom of God? And these are the things that we're saying, God, raise up people to serve in these ways. And lastly, go out. Are we going out? What are we doing? Well, well, are we passionate about making disciples? If this is our mission, we need to wrestle with this. And this is one of the reasons why for the last year you've been coming in through the doors and you've seen that multiply sign out there. I haven't taken it down on purpose because it's important. We want to give you the tools, an easy way as a church family to say, here's a way that you can meet with somebody once a week or every other week and just grow together and do discipleship together, because it's so important and it's so easy. And I've been doing this with a couple of men from the church over the last year, and I got to tell you, it's just blessed me. And it's so awesome. It's so exciting to see God sharpening us and growing each other. And it's just, it's so good. It's so easy. And Christ has called us to make disciples. And I want to ask you, too, things like going, let's continue to pray for our neighbors. Let's continue to pray for our coworkers. Let's go before God and realize that the harvest is plentiful, but Jesus said the workers are few. And so he says we need to do what? We need to pray. We need to pray that God will change hearts, that God will raise up people to go. Simple things like just praying, say, God, help me to have a gospel-centered conversation with somebody this week. It's not like you have to just pull out your gospel tract and share the four spiritual laws with them and feel like you got everything right, but just pray. Say, God, help me to have some kind of a gospel-centered conversation with somebody this week, something that will nudge somebody along closer to Jesus. Simple to do. Simple to do. Other things. We spent back in the spring talking about the emphasis of the local churches here near to say neighboring, love your neighbor. And we challenged all of us to say, hey, would you consider having like a backyard barbecue with some people that live around you, or consider just inviting them over or doing something and just say, hey, just wanted to like get to know you as my neighbor and love you and simple things like that. We talked about invite a friend to church on September 10th. Invite a friend to church on Sunday. Simple. Simple thing to do. You know this. Most people won't come into a church because they feel like, well, it's not my church, so I don't go there. So I wouldn't go. But if we invite them, most times they'll come. Most times they'll come. And that was on my heart this week to share with you. And Jesus has given us a mission, and it's really important. And we need to remember that. We need to keep that at the center of who we are and what we do. So would you pray with me? Let's pray. God, thank you for this morning. God, I simply pray that in the quietness of these next few moments and as we sing, Lord, that your Spirit would have the freedom. We know that he does. God, would you nudge us? Would you convict us? Would you challenge us? Would you give us a greater passion, even than what we already have, for the mission of the church, to help people to find and follow Jesus and to know him? Because God, your heart is good. Father, you love us. You love your creation. And God, you know the damages of the brokenness of sin all the way back to Adam and Eve in the garden. And so God, your plan has always been to rescue and to redeem and to give hope and to give life to us. And so God, do what you need to do to continue to keep us where you want us to be. And Lord, thank you for the history of this congregation. God, thank you that it has stood for so many years of glorifying Jesus Christ in our community. And God, we don't want our lampstand to ever die out, but God, we want to burn for you till the day you come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.